PPI.
This is Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into, ideas about, and discussions on disability topics. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106, KFAI.org. Thanks to Charlene Dahl, who is my research team. It takes a team of people to keep up with her. And Matt Finkel, who is my engineering expertise on this episode. A couple reminders. We have an email list. You may email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com if you'd like to be on the email or just find out what's going on around you. Also, this week, we have Matt Organisek Jensen and Mariah Larkin, and they're with me tonight, and we're talking about fidgety fairy tales and the launching of their new online magazine and podcast created by youth to raise awareness about mental health, and this is called Voices of Experience. Thanks for being with me this week, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on the show.
Yeah, we're happy to be here.
Excellent. All right. Well, can we start out by getting a little bit of history about you guys and how you decided to do something like this and what you do with this Fidgety Fairy Tale?
Sure. Fidgety Fairy Tales, the mental health musical, has been going since 2008. What we do is we take familiar fairy tales and reimagine them so that the main character has a mental health disorder. And we do that as a way to raise awareness about children's mental health and by illustrating some of the common symptoms and different strategies for coping with and managing disorders, but then also really to help communities like friends, family, schools, communities imagine what it looks like to be compassionate and supportive of a child with a mental health disorder. Because I think a lot of people want to be supportive and they don't always know how. And so we try to help them imagine that.
And how about you, Mariah?
Yeah, so I am mainly, I'm not working on Fidgety Fairy Tales. That's all Matt's expertise. I do also have a background in theater, but that is separate from what I'm doing at MACMA, which is more so with the Voices of Experience project and our work with Youth Move Minnesota. So Youth Voices of Experience, the podcast, the magazine, and the website all come from Youth Move Minnesota. We're the local branch of a nationwide organization called Youth Move National that advocates for youth-led systems change. And all of the work that we're doing through that is happening through the Minnesota System of Care grant project with the Department of Human Services. And I'm the youth engagement specialist on that project. And so Youth Move Minnesota has been our way of really trying to encourage groups to get started across the state so that, you know, these conversations are happening more frequently and those youth can be educating members of their community and hopefully having an influence on education system, mental health care system, juvenile justice and child welfare in their communities.
Let's talk about where we are today. Obviously, we have a pandemic going on. So how have you had to adjust? What does this look like for you during this time?
Yeah, well, with Fidgety Fairy Tales, our performances are, they're performed by youth ages 10 to 18, and we tour them all over the state. We do performances all over the state, and we were in the middle of rehearsing our production that was going to tour all over starting in April, and that could not happen. So we had to figure out what we were going to do. And one of the stories is called Chicken Little. And it was it's a story about managing catastrophizing thoughts and kind of like when your thoughts start to spin out of control.
Like
and you're
anxiety,
worried,
right?
Yeah, anxiety and your worries your worries just keep getting bigger and bigger. That there are ways that you can manage that. And so we thought that was a really relevant topic with so much uncertainty happening with the pandemic. And so we decided to create a video, a puppet show adaptation instead, so that people could still see the story. And we had to rewrite it a little bit. Because sometimes people are worried about things that really are dangerous or really are a big deal. And so we had to kind of take that into account as we were writing the story. And, what do you do when you manage your anxieties and something is still dangerous, then what happens? And then it's about cutting out the extra worries so that you can focus on what's important and making a plan. So the actors, we couldn't rehearse together. We couldn't record the lines together. So all the actors, we rehearsed via Zoom a couple times. And then fortunately we were already about halfway through our rehearsal process. So we had a good head start. and so we were able to send everybody off to record their lines and help them try to set up a recording studio in their rooms or in their closets or wherever it was going to be good acoustically.
And then
record their lines, and then we put it all together. And then since we couldn't have the live performances, we turned it into a puppet show.
I presume that someday somebody's going to come out with a book saying where I recorded my Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
And you'll find all sorts of rooms that people use.
Yes.
How did you decide, or how do you identify, what mental health topic for your performances? Like, what are you going to cover?
Yeah. For each of our shows, we've done 12 different productions so far. And each time we do three different stories, three different fairy tales or fables or Greek myths. And sometimes the story kind of tells us what it kind of lends itself to a mental health disorder. And we kind of let the story guide us into like what kind of themes and what kind of disorder to work with. And sometimes we get, I work with a composer and lyricist, her name is Maria Hart. And she and I kind of adapt these stories together. And sometimes as we're thinking about the new show, we think about like what are things that are in kind of like the general conversation at the moment about mental health, and then we look for a story that can help with that. With our recent show, we wrote the catastrophizing story before the pandemic. And then adapted a little bit more, but it was kind of interesting that we had already had it written. And then the story that we're working on now, on adapting now, is The Tortoise and the Hare. And in our version, the hare has depression and doesn't climbs under during the race, climbs over to a tree and falls asleep because they feel nothing, and they feel a deep sense of nothingness and no energy, which I think, the point of that story is the tortoise kind of encourages the hare to like let's go for a walk, let's get out in nature, let's just a little bit of exercise can give your mood a boost, and which also seems really relevant right now, as we're I think a lot of people are struggling with depression because of where we are right now. And and getting outside can help with that. So it's been interesting. Like our the show that we wrote seemed very without knowing what the world was going to be like, ended up being really relevant.
Do your performance often have a connection with a mental health issue in your shows?
With a mental health connection?
Yeah, like, so if you in regards to like the Chicken Little, did your performers have specific anxiety stuff? Did you feel like the people who were involved in that show, they were dealing with anxiety issues and that's why you chose them for that show?
The cast. You know, we have auditions, and we never actually ask people the actors to identify whether or not they have a mental health disorder when at the audition. So we don't choose based on that. I think actors with mental health disorders are kind of drawn to this work, because it's a chance to advocate for themselves, to raise awareness about something that they're struggling with, and also a chance to be with others that are going, you know, to be with a cast of other actors that are struggling with similar things. So we don't select based on that, but the cast does tend to have several actors that are struggling with some of the same things.
What's the biggest mental health disorder or topic that you've addressed in your shows?
Wow, we've done 36 different stories now. So we've covered a lot. Yeah. Ones that we keep coming back to are anxiety. I think that one is a very common thing that people struggle with, anxiety and depression. We've talked about trauma several times, and each time we do a new story, we try to look at a different angle, or a different aspect of it. But I think those are kind of the big three. We've also done several stories about autism, which isn't necessarily a mental health disorder, but, I think a lot of people on the spectrum do struggle with anxiety and depression, that occurs at a higher rate for people on the autism spectrum.
Realizing that this is youth that are doing your performances, but are there any controversial topics that you've dealt with or delving into and people have said afterwards, you know, that was really great, but boy, that was really uncomfortable. Oh. Have you ever had any of those?
I don't know if we've ever been really... I don't know if we've ever had like a controversial reaction to it. We really try to, in our work, when Mari and I are adapting the stories, we really try to work on how do we make this information accessible to people. These are 15-minute stories, and you know, we're not delving into like a ton of detail, but they're really meant to kind of start a conversation. They're a safe way for families and for classes and stuff to like, they have a safe way to begin talking about something or to begin thinking about something, about a disorder or a mental health issue.
I wanted to talk a little bit about how you are distributing or promoting your virtual performances. And I think, was Chicken Little the first one that you did this with?
It is. Yes. This is the first time. And so we really had to like switch gears pretty quickly. We were in the middle of rehearsal and switched to this online format, and we, in the middle of March, and we're able to get it done. And we published it on YouTube on May 7th, which was National Children's Mental Health Awareness Day. So in just about 6 weeks, we kind of reimagined our whole programming and shifted to an online format. So it's available on YouTube. It's also available on our websites. Fidji Fairy Tales is a project of the Minnesota Association for Children's Mental Health. Minnesota Association for Children's Mental Health, which is an advocacy and family support organization. And so the video is housed there. You can find it there. That website address is www.macmh.org/fidgety. And then it's also on one of our other programs is Youth Move Minnesota. And that's a youth-led youth advocacy organization. And that same day, we also launched the Youth Move website. So you can also find it. You can also find it there.
Let's talk a little bit about Chicken Little. That was your first, as you said, performance that you did online, promoting that online. What was this like to do that? And talk a little bit about, set up the premise, because I want to play something from it, but go ahead and...
A little bit about the story?
Yes. So people probably know, but some people don't.
Right. The original story is that an acorn drops on Chicken Little's head, and Chicken Little mistakenly thinks that the sky is falling, and starts running around and telling everybody, telling Goosey Lucy, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and Ducky Lucky, the sky is falling, and Turkey Lurkey, the sky is falling, and pretty soon all the animals are frantic and trying to find some place to hide. And they run into Foxy Loxy, who says, "Oh, it's safe in my den. You come hang out in my den. You'll be safe." And then proceeds to eat them all. The end. So we adapted.
It's a grim fairy tale.
Yeah. So we adapted.
Many of them were anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So we changed it, and where Chicken Little still, and it's this idea of like this worry that just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And the other animals kind of figure out, before it's too late, before they're devoured, what's going on. And they make sure that that Chicken Little and everybody is safe. And then Chicken Little recognizes that her worries are getting out of control. And so she goes to see therapist Werepist. And
her starts out by she's practicing for a baseball game, right?
Yeah, yep. They're all on a softball team, so.
Yeah, softball. And it comes up and falls down, and she doesn't realize that was really the softball that fell on her.
Right, yep. Yes.
Okay. So let's hear the piece with that when she discovers.
Great.
Where did it go? If I tossed it up and it didn't come down, then it must have gone up till it hit the sky. If it hit the sky, then it cracked the sky. If the sky is cracked, then the sky will fall. The sky is falling! Goosey Lucy! Goosey Lucy!
Hey man, what's the rush?
I'm seeking shelter! Rapidly!
Why?
The sky is falling!
What? The sky is falling?
The sky is falling! It hit my head, and soon we will be dead!
That's scary!
When it hit my head with a boing, I knew that it was true!
Wow!
The end is nigh!
Gosh!
We're all gonna die! Account of the falling sky.
We gotta get out of here.
You're telling me?
Hey guys, wanna play catch?
Catch Turkey Lurkey at a time like this?
Seems like as good a time as any.
You don't understand.
So eventually
she goes to therapist Werapist, and she helps her pick apart, you know, these things so she can kind of stop and think about what she really needs to be worried about.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. And just, and kind of in how to interrupt those worries so that they don't keep spinning out of control. So she gives her a few different strategies. One is to just say out loud, stop. And that kind of disrupts the thought process. And then another tool to use is the best friend test, where you imagine, you know, if your best friend was in this, you know, worrying about the same thing, what advice would you give them? Because I think sometimes we can be gentler and with other people, with our friends, than we are with ourselves, and more understanding. And so she kind of begins to imagine, you know, like, oh, if Ducky Lucky was experiencing this, I would help him see, like, no, that it's not, it doesn't have to be as bad as you're imagining.
So listening to her with therapist Werapist, mm-hmm. we started thinking about, well, what have you guys ever thought about? Because it was almost a creative, interactive thing, you know, right? She was having her, teaching her a little trick that taught her to stop, you know, when she was spinning out of control, and then starting to pick apart things and giving her some ideas, like what would happen if you did this, or what would happen if you did this?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever consider creating like an interactive performance online that would, you know, that maybe people could go on with certain mental disorders and kind of do that kind of constructive workaround?
That would be interesting. Yeah.
Almost like a game.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That would be an interesting project to tackle. And I think, you know, with this next period of time where live performance isn't really going to be an option, I think we're going to get creative in what does performance look like. And
right.
So that would be a really interesting format to play with.
Yes, I think so. And it would be fun to revisit that if you guys decide to do that. Yeah. I wonder, is funding difficult at this time? You know, getting funding and convincing people, yes, you should still fund us because we're still doing something.
We've been really fortunate, the Minnesota State Arts Board and the Metropolitan Regional Arts Council have really supported Fidgety Fairy Tales over the years. And so we've had a few grants that have helped support this current period and this, you know, what we're doing at the moment. But kind of going forward, I think a lot of funding is going to change, and so we don't quite know how that's going to play out yet. And there are a lot of things that really need to be it's really important to fund, and that's going to shift funding priorities. And so it'll be interesting to see what the next phase is and how we continue.
So you're addressing a lot of young people online, and I'm wondering, where do you go for your professional advice on your mental health solutions?
As we're developing the stories, we have several people on the staff of the Minnesota Association for Children's Mental Health that are mental health experts. And so, you know, as Maria and I are adapting the stories, we're running ideas past people and getting ideas for how to, you know, what kind of strategies to use, or how can we illustrate this this aspect of this disorder. So we're really fortunate to have you know, that our organization is able to support us because Mari and I are not mental health professionals. We're, I'm a teaching artist and a writer and a choreographer, and Mari is a composer and a lyricist. You know, so so it's great for us to have that mental health backup, you know, and insight as we're developing it.
I want to start out by talking about the new Voices of Experience. Mariah, I bet you can chime in here. It's done by youth, Voices of Experience, correct?
Yeah, it's all of the stuff that's featured in the magazine, the podcast, even some sections of the website are all created by and for youth.
Tell me a little bit about this. How does it work? How often do you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Youth Voices of Experience really came out of this pandemic and the adjustments that we needed to make. It's a program, like we said, of Youth Move Minnesota, which is made up of 9 different chapters across the state, as well as a youth advisory council. And how we've been operating up until now was we would fund these groups and support them meeting biweekly, starting to have more open conversations about mental health and systemic issues. And we had been planning to have these bigger networking events for the different group members to all meet and hopefully to start to build up advocacy skills so they can be going and speaking to members of the legislature. And when COVID happened, we decided that we needed to make a shift, but make something shift quickly so that the youth who we're involved with and who are involved in Youth Move Minnesota programs are able to still feel some sense of connection. And so Matt and I, when we originally started to sort of revamp Youth Move Minnesota, we had talked about really wanting there to be an avenue for artistic expression, but we were struggling with how to fit that into the initial concept for the program. And this new challenge, you know, provided us with another opportunity to create a space for youth expression. And so that's how we decided on the podcast and the magazine and the website to host it all. So basically, we decided that we wanted to have it be collaborative. And so we recruited some professional artists that we know in the Twin Cities to serve as mentors to each of the youth artists. And then we sent out a flyer to organizations and providers that we know, and then just waited to see if people applied, and they started to apply. It was really important to us to make sure that all youth who are working with us, who are creating commissions for any medium, are receiving a commission, are being paid for their work. That was something that was very important to both of us as people who are also working artists. We really wanted to highlight the fact that the youth who are contributing to this are being vulnerable. They're sharing their stories. They're sharing their experiences. And they're putting a lot of time and energy and effort into it. And we really want to celebrate that and pay them for that. So we have released our first episode and issue and are working on our second one. And that will be coming out end of June, beginning of July.
How did you decide which people or topics you wanted to have in the first issue?
We really haven't done any like special selection of the people who have applied so far. Everybody who has applied, if they fit within the age range that we're looking to create a platform for, they've been featured. And it's been really incredible to see that, you know, we don't really have to, we're really trying to focus on letting them share what it is that they want to share. And so in the first episode and issue, we hear about, you know, how different generations of the same family talk about and approach mental health issues. We hear about dealing with addiction. We hear about, and then in the magazine, we see accounts of dealing with bipolar disorder and the effects of toxic masculinity and depression and bullying. And so it's really a wide range of things. And I think that that's ultimately what's more important to us, is just highlighting the things that young people are wanting to talk about and not try to put our own narrative on it. Because I think it's all relevant. It's all important. So,
is the magazine different than the podcast? Like,
it's just a different format to be able to feature more kinds of art. So
I see. Okay,
visual art and writing and things like that.
Let's see. Well, if my engineer has it, I have a piece that was done in one of in the podcast. Can you set it up for us, Matt? You know which one I'm talking about? The song that was...
Yes, this was a music composition by Taylor Nebel.
Set that up.
Yeah, she was really interested in making a piece of music that people could listen to when they wanted to find a sense of calm. And she talked about that, you know, that a lot of times, like, calming music is about sounds of nature. And so she thought, like, not everybody has that reaction to nature. And so she wanted to create a piece of music that would another route to finding a sense of calm.
Okay.
I have it all queued up.
Let's do it. I really found that piece to be pretty peaceful. Did Taylor write that herself?
Yes, she did. She wrote it and recorded it herself.
Very nice job. I wonder, you guys also talk about a lot about bullying. Bullying prevention. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, another aspect of what we're of this whole suite of things that we're launching, the Youth Voices of Experience magazine and the podcast and the and Fidgety Fairy Tales, it's all different tactics to or different ways, different languages to talk about mental health. And the other part of this is our bullying prevention program, which is called the Safeguard, which is a team of superheroes that have nonviolent superpowers that they use to address bullying. And so for our next installment of Youth Voices of Experience, we have two teens. One is a visual artist and one is a writer, and they're working on writing a story with this cast of superheroes that we've created, a story about bullying prevention. And so it won't quite be a comic book. It'll be more like an illustrated story. But we're using that comic book superhero genre to talk about about bullying and the effects that it can have and how it can impact people's mental health and how we as a community can work on preventing bullying.
Do you think that people with mental health disorders have a higher percentage or higher chance of being bullied?
Yes, absolutely. I don't remember the statistic, but people with mental health disorders are more likely to be bullied. They're also more likely to be victims of violence. Yes, it's definitely an issue.
Presumably that they can be the ones who are doing the bullying as well, but maybe not realize that that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It can go the other way too. I do know that, people with mental health disorders are victims of bullying at a higher rate than the general population.
When you do the story that you're going to do on this, will you be performing it on your podcast as well?
We don't know if it's going to be, it's kind of has its own little home on our website. It is going to be, the story will be printed, but then we also have some of our actors that have been involved with Fidgety Fairy Tales, that are going to perform, that will perform the story. So it will be, available by audio as well.
Can you give us the URL of where people can go to hear and read about Voices of Experience?
Sure. Mariah, do you want
to? Yeah, they can go to www.youthmove-mn.org.
Can you give that once more, please?
Yeah, youthmove-mn.org.
Presumably two W's, right?
Yes, three W's.
Yep. All right. So if you make sure you hand that back to me on the email, I'll make sure that gets posted so people can know where to go. Can you talk a little bit about youthmoveminnesota.org?
Yeah. So, Youth Move Minnesota, like we talked about with our youth program, and we wanted to, actually in our first meeting with our youth advisory council, the idea of creating a website was something that several of them brought up and were really excited about. They wanted it to serve as a place for finding resources, for connecting with other people, for finding out, just what's going on, what events are happening, that are related to the work that we're doing. And we didn't really have the opportunity to create the website at that time. But once again, we shifted everything online to adjust for COVID, that was the perfect chance to go ahead and actually make that happen and build it in a way that it was going to be able to support these other different avenues. So including Vidity, including the podcast and the magazine. And hopefully it will, as Youth Move Minnesota continues to grow, become a place that is full of additional local resources for youth. We'll provide more information about local events happening in communities across the state. we're really excited to see all of the different ways that it can grow and change and be responsive to the needs of youth.
I noticed, I think if I read correctly, you guys deal with ages 12 through adult. I'm wondering why you decided to pick that age, because, I mean, presumably there's children much younger who do express mental health disorder, you know.
Yeah.
Things.
Yeah, for things with youth move and specifically for voices of experience, we wanted to focus on slightly older youth. I think that something that Fidgety Fairy Tales does really well is provide content for not only middle school, but also like elementary age children. And then really MACMA has its own infant and early childhood department. And I think that moving forward, we'll all be excited to find ways that we can intertwine our work so that it's not quite as separated. And also, I think that there's a pretty significant difference in how we approach working with much younger children versus working with slightly older youth. But you're absolutely right. There's certainly prevalence of mental health challenges in younger children as well.
I wonder, certainly there has been changes and things with education and mental health in regards to the education part of things. What kind of differences or hardships have you seen with the education and mental health piece during this pandemic and where everyone was kind of online for everything?
Yeah, it's certainly been a challenge. A lot of the youth that we work with have experienced feeling frustrated by it and feeling like it is difficult to maintain a sense of connection or for that sense of connection to feel particularly genuine. I also want to note that Zoom fatigue is a real thing. The way that our brains calculate communicating with people when we are there with them in person is different than doing that on a computer, where your brain is kind of having to fill in a lot of gaps. And so right. I think that has been a big challenge for young people, that sense of fatigue. I think that it's definitely not at all the same thing. And I think that we will continue to see an impact of these changes for a while.
And I think part of why we wanted to put this magazine and this podcast out as an opportunity for youth is that I think creating things can be helpful to people's mental health, and so we wanted to be able to provide a way for people to work on creative projects during this time to maybe hopefully help a little bit with that.
Mariah, can you talk a little bit about, is it the CARE project?
The System of CARE, yeah.
System of CARE, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So the funding that we get to run the Youth of Minnesota program and Voices of Experience, Youth Voices of Experience, comes from the System of CARE grant that we are working on with the Minnesota Department of Human Services.
And what is System of CARE?
Yeah, so the System of CARE is this concept of creating a children's mental health care system that aims to sort of reduce the siloing of different services and different aspects that a child with high needs might be involved with. So that means, so basically the way that it is now, the school functions separately from the mental health professional who might be working with that young person, and if that young person is also, say, involved in the foster care system, then there's like all these different approaches to supporting that child's needs, and all of those different things are happening separately. So what the System of CARE aims to do is bring all of those people together so that a child's needs are being met through a system of care and not through these sort of siloed individual things that might contradict each other or not support each other. And ultimately, the goal is to make accessing mental health care services significantly easier for Minnesota families. Sort of one of the prime examples of a children's mental health system of care is in the state of New Jersey. It took them about 20 years to build, but they're at a point now where there is a single phone number that families have to call. And if they have a child who's experiencing a mental health crisis, and within an hour, a mobile crisis team that is trained specifically to work with youth. And I think that's an important thing to note. We do have some development of mobile crisis response teams here in Minnesota, but most of them are trained to work with adults and not with children. And so in New Jersey, you have these teams that can be sent to homes within an hour of receiving a call, and they don't have to provide information about insurance, about previous involvement with mental health services or other sort of youth-serving organizations. And they are given the help that they need. And are in New Jersey specifically, they focus on a system called Wraparound, which is a service model for how all of those different pieces can work together.
And is the idea to model after that model?
I think in some ways, yes.
Because it sounds like a great model.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. And we're really lucky to have Liz Manley, who did a lot of that work, coaching us here as we're developing the Minnesota model. And I think right now we're only working with 13 counties, regions, and one tribe. And we want to make sure that as we're working in each of these communities, that it's really specific to their needs. And if that ends up being similar to what the needs were in New Jersey, then I think that absolutely we'll head in that direction. It's a very slow and arduous process to get all of the right people talking to each other and collaborating in the right way. And the biggest part of system of care is that we want to build systems that are youth-driven, family-led, culturally responsive, and community-based. A lot of what we see here in Minnesota is if children are removed from their homes because of a mental health crisis, they are oftentimes sent to long-term care facilities that are not in their community, that are potentially several hours away. And that can be really disruptive and challenging. And so one of the parts of this that we're aiming to really shift is keeping young people in their communities and bringing the supports that are needed to them in their homes, in their school, so that they have what they need to succeed.
Can you give me the URLs again for Fidgety Fairy Tales and also youth, the Youth Voices of Experience?
Yeah, everything can be found at www.youthmove-mn.org.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys coming on. It's been great. And I wish you good luck with the whole internet virtual performances. I think we're going to have that longer than we know. And I think everyone would benefit from watching a little bit of good theater online. This has been Disability and Progress. The views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KFAI or its board of directors. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Charlene Dahl is my research team. Matt Finkel is the current brilliant engineer of this episode. We've been speaking with Matt Organisak Jensen and Mariah Larkin, and they were talking about Fidgety Fairy Tales and the launching of a new online magazine and podcast created by youth to raise awareness about mental health called Voices of Experience. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. Fresh Fruit is up next. Thanks so much for listening. Good night and stay safe.